Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. This is Double Coverage. We're glad you've chosen to click in with us today. We are on location at the SEC tournament, coming to you overlooking beautiful Alabama Highway 150 right behind the Galleria. And we'll have games this afternoon, Ole Miss and Mississippi State both advancing. Neither have lost in this tournament yet. Mississippi State, of course, had the bye. Ole Miss played in the elimination day on Tuesday and defeated Georgia 5-1 to advance, and then picked up an impressive resume win on Wednesday over number 5 RPI South Carolina, the Rebels winning 10-4. Mississippi State also winning in its first game. Logan, what was the final?
4-1. Alabama actually scored their only run with two outs in the ninth inning. Zach Houston had a complete game shutout going, and just sort of ran out of gas for Mississippi State. But he pitched well and above what was expected of him. Like I said, Mississippi State received the first round bye, won the conference championship a week ago. Got some help from Ole Miss to have that happen for them. They were going to have to share that trophy with Texas A&M if Ole Miss couldn't get one win over there in College Station. They did. Mississippi State won the league outright for the first time since 1989. And received their conference championship trophy right before the ball game on Wednesday. So that was a pretty special moment before the game, but it really didn't affect Mississippi State once they got into the game. They came out and played well against Alabama, and are on a roll right now. They've won, I think, 12 straight games now. So I think 11 or 12. It's tough to keep track at this point how many games they've won. They're hot.
Well, and that last day of the regular season, the day that followed, the Sunday, set off kind of an internet firestorm, man. You know, we all get bashed for our headlines every now and then. If you work in a newspaper, it happens. And, you know, there was the Thank You Rebels from, a publication that will go unnamed. But, you know, I don't laugh at that too much, Logan, because I know that the Daily Journal certainly has had its share of self-inflicted damage. And, you know, that's what that is. But I did follow that that controversy there on Twitter and social media and everything, and people did get riled up. And anyway, Mississippi State still hot. Ole Miss looks like it's getting hot as well. The Rebels now, with their win at Texas A&M, have three straight wins against top 50 RPI opponents, two of those top 10 RPI opponents in Texas A&M and South Carolina. Both of these teams playing today, and if they win, they get a day off, Logan. This is Thursday. If they win, because we're in now that traditional double elimination format that for years we had. You didn't have the play-in game. You didn't have a single elimination round. You got here, it was double elimination. If you won two games, you had a day off, and you come back on Saturday. Well, that's where both State and Ole Miss are right now. If they win today, it would be State's second win of the tournament, Ole Miss's third. They would get the Friday off, and that's always a good thing. It allows teams to rest and recuperate a little bit. It really allows you to get your pitching back in order as well, and that's important for Ole Miss from the bullpen perspective, because that's been such a big part of their story this year, and that bullpen has pitched well here again. We're going to talk about those games in just a moment, folks, but before we do, we'll give you a schedule rundown. It's Ole Miss and Vanderbilt at 4:30. Now, that start time is always a moving target depending on what happens in the games preceding, but tentatively scheduled for 4:30, Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. Both of these teams are the lower seeded teams in the tournament, and they beat the higher seeded teams on Wednesday, Ole Miss beating South Carolina 10-4, and Vanderbilt beating Texas A&M 6-5 in the game just prior. So the lower seeded teams won. They're going to meet in the winner's bracket, Ole Miss and Vanderbilt at 4:30, Mississippi State, and who is it?
LSU.
And LSU in the late game. And folks, it could be a really late game because LSU in Florida set a record last night for the longest game. Not the longest game in innings, but the longest game played, 5 hours and 7 minutes. LSU breaking out the Raleigh Possums again and winning 5-3 in 14 innings.
That game ended just before 2 a.m. this morning. I actually left that game in the fourth inning and got to watch an entire ball game after I got back here to the hotel last night. So it was one of those games where you know you need to go to bed, and the game was so exciting. There were so many crazy things that happened late in that ball game to keep the game going and keep that game tied that you couldn't go to bed. You needed to know who won that game before you went to sleep that night. And I especially needed to know because I needed to know who Mississippi State was playing today. So I've got to get going on a preview here at some point today. But it was an exciting game. And LSU is playing hot right now. I think they've won 12 out of their last 13, if I got that correctly. So Mississippi State and LSU are the two hottest teams in the SEC right now. And one of them's going to have to lose tonight. And, like I said, it's going to be an exciting ball game. Mississippi State took 2 out of 3 from LSU earlier this year in Baton Rouge. So it's going to be exciting, large, loud crowd late tonight. And, the LSU fans stayed with that ball game last night. And I know you throw some Mississippi State fans into the mix, and could be an electric atmosphere out at the Hoover Met tonight.
Well, those are the two most well-traveled fan bases here. They're going to be out in numbers tonight. And thankfully, Logan, I did not have to know in real time who won that game last night. And I remember you stumbling back into the room about 2 a.m. and I woke up enough to say who won, and you told me it went 14 innings and just got finished, and I thought OMG and went back to sleep. So that was good. Hey folks, before we get into a little more talk about the Rebels and Bulldogs SEC tournament wins here, a couple of notes to pass along. Ole Miss still has not, as we record this today, Thursday morning, still has not released its NCAA tournament response. We expect that to come sometime this week, and as the days of the week roll off the calendar, it's looking more and more like a traditional release of like 5 o'clock on a Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the time that things like this often are released. So we'll see. We're still watching for this Ole Miss NCAA news, and what this is again is the Ole Miss response to the NCAA notice of allegations that Ole Miss received in late January. So the school had a 60 days or maybe more than that, a window of time to complete its response. There was a 30-day extension granted in late April, you may recall. Now that the time is up, it's time for the response. In truth, the response probably has, I'm sure, already been submitted to the NCAA. And what we are awaiting is Ole Miss making public its response. Ross Bjork, from the beginning, has said, look, this is going to be transparent, and when we make that response, we're going to make that available to the public for everyone to see. We're eager to make this response. We're eager to tell our side of what has happened. So that is the news that is expected from Ole Miss this week. It has not come yet, so we're just counting time, waiting for that, and kind of got an office pool going to see what inning it occurs. You know, surely it will happen during a baseball game. But anyway, waiting for that news from Ole Miss. Talking about the baseball tournament, one more item before we get there. I want to remind you about our other Daily Journal productions, our other podcasts. Be sure to check out The Memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, our news podcast, Everything Northeast Mississippi. You can find that every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And also look for Prep Rally, High School Sports with Gene Phelps and Brad Locke, coming to you every Wednesday. Now, let's talk a little baseball to this point in the SEC tournament. You know, the importance of this tournament really kind of varies from year to year. And, there were things on the line really more for Ole Miss, I think, than State. I think the SEC championship for State, winning 9 out of 10 regular season series, I think the Bulldogs really had a national seed locked up getting here, and certainly did nothing to hurt that standing with the win over Alabama in their opening round on Wednesday. Ole Miss believes it can get in the national seed conversation as well, and certainly the Rebels have taken steps to do that with a 5-1 win over Georgia and then a 10-4 win over South Carolina. Here's where it gets interesting for Ole Miss. There are seven NCAA host-worthy teams in the SEC. LSU, Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss are at the bottom rung of that seven, each of them trying to differentiate themselves here in the SEC tournament. LSU finished one game ahead of both Vanderbilt and Ole Miss in the regular season standings. Ole Miss has the advantage of a series win against LSU, winning 2-1 the first weekend in May, last weekend in April, or maybe I think they kind of overlapped there. So a lot of different dynamics in play. You want to kind of differentiate yourselves, yourself from those others there, but everybody, you know, all those lower-seeded teams keep winning. You know, LSU, the fifth seed, was the highest-seeded team to play on the opening day, struggled a little bit, came back to beat Tennessee, then rallied to beat Florida. So LSU has won twice. Vanderbilt has won twice, beating Missouri and Texas A&M. Ole Miss has won twice. And I wonder, Logan, at least from the host perspective, not from the national seed perspective, if it's just over. I mean, at some point, it has to be less about comparing these SEC teams to one another and just saying, look, you're worthy. You need to host. I mean, not we're talking host, not national seed. But, you know, this is an Ole Miss team like Vanderbilt that won 18 regular season games in what the SEC coaches will tell you is the toughest conference in the country. Now, statistically, when you're looking at RPI, the ACC is ranked just a couple of tenths of a percentage point ahead of the SEC in terms of conference RPI. The SEC actually number two behind the ACC, but very close, much closer to number one, ACC, the number three, the Pac-12, which, you know, the West Coast has struggled a little bit, and that could play into the host picture as well. But I'm thinking the win over South Carolina, I mean, that's got to remove the host argument. I mean, and maybe this is the year that the SEC actually gets seven hosts. You know, maybe this is it because there are seven teams that are worthy. It's not like the sixth and seventh teams have an RPI of 17 or 16. I mean, you know, those teams, LSU, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, they are all inside the top 10 in RPI right now. And Ole Miss, the most recent RPI, now this is shifting. It may be different after LSU won at 2 in the morning, but after the Ole Miss-South Carolina game, WarrenNolan.com updated its RPI and had Ole Miss at number 5, had it ahead of South Carolina in the RPI immediately after the game. So I'm really thinking that that the Rebels have locked up a host spot. You know, when you talk about 18 conference wins, that in and of itself is different, Logan, because so many SEC teams are there. You know, at least the top seven with at least 18 SEC wins. And one reason, and the coaches don't get around to talking about this, one reason I think that you're seeing so many of those top-level talented SEC teams with more conference wins this year is that the bottom is bad. Missouri is bad. Auburn is bad. You know, Tennessee is not very good.
Arkansas. You know,
Arkansas. So a lot of those wins have come at the expense of those teams, and credit the better teams for not stumbling there.
Right. And one thing the selections committee, I guess, should take into effect, now, whether they will or not when they get in that room and we all find out, I guess, on Monday where everybody's going, is when they look at those national seeds and they look at all these host sites, they should just be the best teams. It really shouldn't matter what conference they come out of. And I know in the past that selection committee, they, you know, in the NCAA, they like to spread it around the country. You know, they like to have, you know, the regionals in different regions of the country, which, you know, it makes sense to some extent. But at the same time, you should reward the teams that have actually produced on the field and gotten the job done throughout the regular season. And whether that comes from one conference or two conferences, so be it. You know, if the ACC and the SEC deserve to host all those events, you know, or the majority of those regionals, and you know, that's where it should be at. You know, you should reward the teams that actually produced on the field and not just look at, you know, what region or what conference they particularly came from. And, you know, we know, you know, just from looking at the teams that are out here in Hoover this week, I mean, this is the best of the best. I mean, like you said, I know the ACC is ranked ahead of that, but, you know, I would put, you know, the top of you know, the SEC against anybody from the top of the ACC, and I would imagine the SEC would, you know, win more games against those two. And I guess you'll see that once the teams reach Omaha or beat up on each other, you know, on the road to Omaha. But it really just depends on, like we were talking about before we went on the air, it really, once you get down to that portion of the season, when you get into regional and super regional play, it really depends on the matchup that you get. I mean, sometimes a team that's really good, like we were talking about the 2006 Ole Miss team that we both covered, they had a lot of major league talent on that team. They didn't make it to Omaha. They got beaten a super regional there at Oxford by a team that had more major league talent on it in Miami. And that's the team that went on to Omaha that year. We talked about the 2007 Mississippi State team that next year. Wasn't the best team in the world. Didn't think that team had what it took to get to Omaha. There were a lot of missing pieces on that team. They got hot at the right time. They had some things fall into place for them. Next thing you know, they're in Omaha. So even though Mississippi State won the SEC, and that's something John Cohen talked about. He mentioned that even though we won the conference outright, nothing is guaranteed to us. I mean, the season completely opens up. We need to continue to play ball. And, you know, some people have the opinion that this tournament over in Hoover really doesn't matter. And, you know, especially for a team that, you know, looks like it's locked up a national seed, like in Mississippi State's case. John Cohen took the position that nothing is guaranteed to them, and they needed to come over here and really just remove any doubt. He said that some crazy things can happen in that committee room when those teams are selected. You know, he talked about, you know, how the ACC was perceived to be the best conference, and he said some different things can happen in these conference tournaments around the country that are out of your control. A team can reel off a team that's on the fringe of that national host conversation can reel off 4 or 5 wins in one of these conference tournaments. The next thing you know, they're hot, and they're the hot team right now. And they jump you to be a national seed if you come over to Hoover and get beat 2 games and you're back at the house. And so he talked about coming over here to Hoover, taking care of your own business, handle what you can control, and take it out of it. Basically solidify yourself in the committee's eyes. I mean, don't just rest on your laurels and what you've already done. Continue to play good baseball. And that's what Mississippi State did against Alabama. They took care of business. They got, an, like I mentioned earlier, above average pitching performance from Zach Houston. John Cohen talked on Tuesday. He wanted to get, you know, 4 or 5 innings from Zach Houston. He's a guy that's only started 4 previous times for them and never gone more than 6 innings in a ball game. He's never even pitched an SEC ball or started an SEC ball game for Mississippi State this season. So, you know, they really wasn't expecting much. They wanted to get him, you know, 2 or 3 turns through the lineup, and then they were going to turn things over to their bullpen. You know, they didn't have to go to their bullpen until they needed to get that last out. Blake Smith comes in, throws 3 sliders, and gets a strikeout, and that's it. So he's still – Blake Smith's still available. The rest of the bullpen is intact, and they got Dakota Hudson going on the mound tonight against LSU. You've got your ace on the mound who's thrown back-to-back complete games the last 2 weeks. And they want to get Austin Sexton back on the mound before this tournament's over, too. They didn't want him to go 2 weeks without throwing when you get into regional play. So things are setting up nicely for Mississippi State so far in the pitching department. You know, like I said, the bullpen was intact. John Cohen did not want to throw Daniel Brown. He did not want to throw Reed Humphreys in that opening game against Alabama. He didn't have to do so. So Mississippi State's going to try to win this tournament as well. You know, I covered Mississippi State team back in 2012. They came over here to Hoover and won this thing. That was a pretty good ball club. You know, had Chris Stratton and had a lot of good ball players in that. But they ran out of gas. I mean, the Hoover tournament did take a lot out of that team, and they just went down to Florida State that year. It didn't play great baseball. They got beat by Samford twice. They got beat out of that regional by Samford. And were the better ball club than Samford, but obviously what Hoover took out of them, just they didn't play like the same ball club that I had seen most of the year, and that could happen. That's the argument that people that think you should lose 2 games in Hoover and go home and start preparing for the postseason. have, but you know, I've seen it both ways. But I do like Joe Cohen's approach to this thing. You don't want to ever just give up a baseball game. You want to come in and continue the role. You know, I mentioned Mississippi State's won a dozen in a row. You know, they're playing great baseball right now, and you want to try to keep that continue. You don't want to throw a cog into the machine that's going right now.
Well, Ole Miss is 2-0 in this tournament because its best players are playing really well. This is still not a dynamic offense, but there are three pretty good hitters on this team and some other people who mix and match in around them. And when Tate Blackman, J.B. Woodman, and Henry Lartigue are swinging it well, it's a pretty good team, a pretty good offense, and that's what we're seeing right now. Tate Blackman in this tournament is 3-for-9, but you know, Bortles, Colby Bortles coming in at 3-for-8 with a pair of RBI doubles. But the guys who are carrying this team right now, or certainly did against South Carolina, are Woodman and Henry Lartigue. Lartigue got the big hit on Wednesday, finished 4-for-5 in the game, 4 RBIs, really removed all doubt with a 3-run home run in the 8th inning. It was a 7-4 lead at that time for Ole Miss, and a pretty comfortable lead for a bullpen that is like 37-0 when leading after 6 innings of play. So probably the Rebels would have held on and won the game, but Lartigue removed all doubt with a massive shot over the right field wall. That made it 10-4. J.B. Woodman is 4-for-5 in this tournament, with 4 runs driven in and 5 runs scored, really turning a lot of heads with his defense as well as his offense, really showing to be a complete player in this tournament. He goes into the Vanderbilt game having reached base in 8 straight plate appearances. So an outstanding tournament so far for J.B. Woodman. And that's what it takes for Ole Miss to have all of these guys clicking at one time. This is not a lineup that really threatens you 1-9, but the best guys are hitting well right now. We'll see if that continues against Vanderbilt. And the pitching has been pretty good. The story against South Carolina was not so much the bullpen, which was strong again, but a good start from David Parkinson, a left-hander who was not in the rotation. He was part of that bullpen when South Carolina swept Ole Miss in Oxford the last weekend in March. Parkinson went 5 2/3 innings. He was a little wobbly with a walk and a hit batter and a base hit in the 3rd inning when South Carolina scored 2 runs. Those were the only runs they would score against Parkinson. He scattered 5 hits and walked 2, struck out 6. So a solid outing from David Parkinson. Mike Bianco turned to Andy Pagnozzi in the 6th with the bases loaded and 2 outs, and Pagnozzi forced a pop-up on his 2nd pitch and got out of the inning. Gave up a couple of base hits there in the 7th, and Bianco went quickly to Will Stokes in his 2nd appearance of the tournament. Stokes came on and went the rest of the way, pitched 3 innings, scattered 3 hits, did not give up a run, so more good bullpen pitching from the Rebels. And they got to rest some guys in Game 2. Brady Feigl did not pitch. Wyatt Shore did not pitch. So those guys will be available again for today against Vanderbilt. And some others like Connor Green, who also have not thrown in this tournament. So the bullpen should be in pretty good shape for Ole Miss against Vanderbilt. It will be in better shape if the Rebels can win today and get that off day on Friday. But really, I think Ole Miss has accomplished quite a bit by winning its first 2 games. Good RPI games. Georgia's a top 50 RPI team. South Carolina, you know, a top 5 RPI win. And those wins count different when they come on a neutral field. They count differently. So it's been a good tournament for the Rebels. I think it has locked up a host spot. If they keep on going, maybe they get in that national seed conversation a little deeper as well. We'll see how all of that plays out, folks. Regional host sites will be announced on Sunday, the rest of the field and the national seeds on Monday. We are getting to that time of year. And we're getting to that time in the podcast where it is the end. And we want to thank you for joining us for this edition of Double Coverage. Be sure to check out The Memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Prep Rally with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps every Wednesday, all your high school sports needs for Northeast Mississippi. I'm Parrish Alford, been joined also by Logan Lowry. We'll be back next week with another edition of Double Coverage, letting you know everything that's going on with Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Come back and join us.